Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Now, Pastor Carolus, good afternoon to you.
Good day, sir. How are you, Zama?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. Are you doing well?
I am well. And also happy afternoon to our listeners.
Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, this week we are going to be chatting to you literally at this time and, until Friday, by the way. So thank you so much for agreeing to speak to us. We are going to be looking at the Holy Spirit's role in the mission of the church. But before we get to that, we want to start by discussing the Holy Spirit's influence on an individual level. Now, the Holy Spirit. Do we refer to the Holy Spirit as a human, in human terms, as a he, or is it it?
Well, Jesus is the best example for any Christian, and it would be good to speak about the Holy Spirit in the same way that Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 to John chapter 16 and even parts of 17, we find Jesus speaking quite a bit about the Holy Spirit. For instance, in John 16 verse 13, Jesus says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So when Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit, in connection with the work of the Holy Spirit, which is what we are looking at this week, Jesus refers to the Spirit as he and also himself.
Yep.
And so it is then proper to follow the example of Jesus as Christians and speak about the Holy Spirit and referring to him as he, himself, him, in the same way that Christ is.
Ah, beautiful. Now, how, in fact, the role, you know, of the Holy Spirit in the life of an individual, how can we describe that? How do we characterize that particular role or intervention, as it were?
There are various functions that the Holy Spirit seeks to fulfill through the life of the individual Christian. We've just read John 16, verse 13, where the role of the Holy Spirit is to guide us. Where the role of the Holy Spirit is also to speak not of himself, but to speak about what Christ has given. He will guide you into all truth and tell you and remind you of what I have given. So the Holy Spirit's primary work is to remind us as individuals what the Bible says about our life and our actions, our thoughts, and so on. That is the role of the Holy Spirit, to show us what is truth, and then by doing so, convict us of what is truth, and then also the Holy Spirit gives us the power to then also follow that truth if we accept the truth. One of the biblical accounts that helps us to understand this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, where Paul, when they were dishonest, Peter rather says to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" So the Holy Ghost in this instance impressed upon Ananias the right thing to do with his money. Ananias then accepted what the Holy Spirit said and pledged to do something with that money. But then he did something different than what he had pledged to do. And Peter says that when he did that, he was lying to the Holy Spirit. That means, when I lie, I'm saying I'll do something, but then I do something else, or I don't do it at all. Peter says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. In other words, you have said that you will accept what the Spirit is teaching and giving you in respect of your finances, but you ended up not doing so. And so that's just one role in which the Holy Spirit not only convicts us of what to do, but also helps us to accept it. And then we have a choice. We don't have to accept the conviction. We don't have to accept the truth as given by the Holy Spirit. But if we do accept it or say that and profess we accept it, and we don't do what we have professed, then it would be a lie to the Holy Spirit.
Interesting. Now, I'm not sure how to really phrase this question in light of what you've just said. So the Holy Spirit presents himself, and one has got the responsibility either to accept or not to accept the Holy Spirit. Did I hear you correctly?
That is correct, yes. When the reign of grace with which the Holy Spirit comes is different to the reign of sin. You see, when sin possesses us and we allow sin to control us, there is no options that we have. The only thing that sin has us to do is to sin, to commit wrong. And whereas with the Holy Spirit, we have a choice, because the reign of grace always gives a choice. And when I say this, I do speak of experience as well. You know, at times when I have sinned, I find myself not having any option with that spirit, which is a demonic spirit at the end of the day. But with the Holy Spirit, you will convict with truth, and I then have a choice on what I'm going to do. And if I choose to accept what the Holy Spirit convicts me of, then, of course, the Holy Spirit then also exercises power through me, but not by force, but because I have chosen the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Now, is everyone, absolutely everyone, supposed to be possessing the Holy Spirit, or it is only presenting? Or is he only presenting himself to a particular sect of people?
Well, I'll say it this way. In each of us, we have a conscience. And this also has to do with the Holy Spirit. Even if we are not believers, or even if we do not regard God, in each of us, because we were created originally in God's image, in each of us, there is something with which the Holy Spirit can work. And we find this in the book of Romans, chapter 2, where it speaks of those who have no knowledge of the truth, but they still have common sense. And the Holy Spirit seeks to work on that which even the unbeliever has. And that's why, and I think later in the week, we also talk about how this works, because the Holy Spirit then does two things in the life of the individual. It convicts firstly, that means it tells us what's right and wrong, but it also has the power to convert us if we so choose. And so all people are convicted, but not all are converted. So the Holy Spirit will come as a conscience, as a spirit, and we call this the conscience. And if we listen to the Holy Spirit, if we listen to our conscience, then the Holy Spirit is able to possess us. As with any other spirit, if we listen to a different spirit, we allow that spirit to possess us. So all of us are possessed by a spirit. You know, but you have an evil spirit, but we also, which is obviously Satan, but we also have the Holy Spirit, which represents the Godhead in this instance.
Right now,
and the Bible is very
yes.
The the Bible is also really in the book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit is, that God gives the Spirit to those who obey. So the fullness of the Spirit can only be given to those, is only possessed by those who obey God, who obey His commandments, who obey His laws. So when we obey, by obeying, we open ourselves up to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But it's even the Holy Spirit that leads us to obey, if we so choose.
Beautiful. Now, how does one know that the Holy Spirit resides within them?
In the book of Galatians chapter 5, you know, let me first say in it's 1 John chapter 4, if we... In 1 John chapter 4, we are told this one, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then verse 2 says, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So one of the ways, according to this scripture, to know whether you are dealing with the actual Holy Spirit and not any other spirit, is what you believe when it comes to Christ. If you believe and confess that Jesus had come in the flesh, then the spirit that's leading you, or it then becomes evident that the spirit that's leading you is the Holy Spirit. So it has to do with doctrine teaching that we accept. And that's on a cognitive level. But there's also another level in which we can know that we are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, by their fruit, you will know them. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is the fruit of the Spirit, according to Paul. And so if Jesus says that you will know, that we will know by the fruit of the fruit that the person represents, or the fruit that that person displays, you'll know whether it's the Holy Spirit or not. And here we find very explicitly what kind of attributes one who is filled with the Holy Spirit has.
Mm. Yeah. Now, thank you. Thank you so much for that, Pastor. Now, as we conclude our conversation this afternoon, you know, when Christ left this earth, going up to His Father's, He said He would send the Spirit to guide. Now, it speaks as though there was no Holy Spirit before then. So where was the Spirit before this particular announcement?
Well, that is a good question. The Holy Spirit has always been there. In fact, when you read that chapter in Acts, verse 5, he says, Peter was saying to Ananias that he's lied to the Holy Spirit. And then in the very next two verses, he also says that Ananias has lied to God. This means that the Holy Spirit, a plain reading of Scripture, will then show that the Holy Spirit is God.
Hmm.
And we find the Holy Spirit, and God, of course, is infinite, is eternal. And we find in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, that the Holy Spirit was present even at creation. We find there in Genesis 1, verse 2, that the Holy Spirit was striving upon the face of the deep. So even when it comes to creation, the Holy Spirit was present. We also find then in Hebrews 1, of course, verse 1 and 2, where it speaks that Christ, that God, who at sundry times, speaking about the Father, in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So we find that according to Hebrews 1 verse 2 and Genesis 1 verse 1, the Father was creating, but he was creating through the Son. And when the Father speaks in Genesis 1 verse 26 to say, let us make man, the Holy Spirit was striving there, but it was the Father saying that to the Son. But and it's there in Genesis 1 verse 2, the Holy Spirit was already there. And there's another verse that is very important when we talk about the existence of the Holy Spirit. And I think we can close with this one. Hebrews 9 verse 14 tells us, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So here the writer of the book of Hebrews identifies the Holy Spirit nature as being eternal. You know, so I think that that should be clear enough that the Holy Spirit has always been there. But when Jesus says that he will send the Holy Spirit, it's the same with Jesus. He was always there. The Son always existed. He was, there was never a time when he was not with the Father. The Bible speaks of Jesus having always been in the bosom of the Father. So even though Jesus had always been there, there's more emphasis on Christ in the Gospels when he is sent to the earth to do a specific function. And so when Jesus says that he will send the Spirit, we are speaking of Jesus sending the Spirit to perform a specific role and function. And it is in that way. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit hasn't always been around, but he has been sent now for a specific function, and that is to guide into all truth. And, and I'm sure through the rest of the week, we will also touch on many other aspects of how the Holy Spirit becomes important, not only to the individual, but also to God's church here, in, here on earth. And so I look forward to also sharing about that a little more.
Beautiful. I'm definitely also looking forward to that, because we'd like to hear more about, you know, the Holy Spirit and the church. But for today, Pastor, I do want to thank you so much for coming through. It's been a true, true, true blessing to have you here. Until tomorrow, Godspeed.
Amen. It's always a pleasure, Zama. See you. God bless.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.